Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, go to techpodcasts.com. Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 61 for Saturday, May 10th, 2008, the weekly live podcast that talks all about the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell, back after a good long time, and of course, joining me...
And I'm your sleepy co-host, Highway of Life, David Lewis.
So your name is Highway of Life and your username is David Lewis?
Yes, I've switched it around now.
All right. Today I'm very excited. We are joined by a very special guest, Patrick O'Keefe, who is the author of the Bible.
If just call me King James.
who's King James? I've always wondered who King James is. Yeah.
King James. The Bible.
No, yeah, but who was he? I don't know either.
All right. 2 extra credit points to anyone in the chat room. The first person in the chat room that can tell us who King James is,
person who gets to Wikipedia.
Don't say he's the guy who wrote the King James version of the Bible.
But, okay, boy, we're fast to get off topic today. Anyway, for those of you that remember, exactly 3 months ago, and I mean literally 3 months ago, on episode 50, you may remember we had Patrick O'Keefe on. We talked a bit about his site, phpbbhacks.com, and among other things. But he also let on that he, at the time, was in the process of publishing a new book. And since then, his new book has been published. And he sent both myself and David copies of the book. And I don't know if David's finished it, but I read it cover to cover. It is an awesome book. I don't know how much of it David's gotten to look at, but he's certainly took a look, seen it.
I've read a lot of it, not as much as you have, but I've read a lot of it.
Yeah,
and actually, you know, I've talked with a lot of people who have a copy.
Yeah,
so it's already gotten around a bit.
And about a week and a half ago, I published a review of it on my blog, which will be linked in the show notes and is in the chat room. But anyway, the title of his book is Managing Online Forums, Everything You Need to Know to Create and Run Successful Community Discussion Boards.
Patrick, I don't think you chose the right name there. I really think it should have been Managing Online Forums for Dummies.
Actually, the working title was first of all, thanks for the kind words about the book. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad it's got out there. It's a great thing, and I'm just always humbled by the kind words that I've been receiving. But as far as the title, you know, it wasn't my idea, except I started with the working title Managing Internet Community Forums. That was kind of the working title, and then they took Managing Online Forums, which I liked, and they totally did the subtitle. The only thing I added in there was they had Everything You Need to Know to Create and Run Powerful Community Discussion Boards, and I said, can we substitute successful for powerful? Because when I think powerful, I think more of the software.
Yeah, you don't want to become too much like Hitler. He's powerful.
Yeah, so that was kind of their keyword rich, search engine rich title.
Yes, he was powerful. He wasn't successful. Right. You can see which one is more important. Okay, I need to go through our housekeeping rules before we get into the depths of the interview. As you know, PHP BB Weekly is not affiliated with the PHP BB teams or phpbb.com or with the iFroggy network for that matter, although we certainly enjoy a great working relationship with all of the above. If you'd like to be a part of this episode, you can listen live in our very vibrant chat room. At least it usually gets more vibrant as the show goes on, through TalkShoe.com. Or you can also call in. The number is 724-444-7444. The call ID number is 12418. And, of course, the show is released on our website, phpbbweekly.net, usually the day following when we air it live. Also, PHPBB Weekly, as you know, is sponsored by GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can hold an online meeting from your computer so that everybody who wants to participate will go to GoToMeeting.com. During your conference call, they will see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you can get more done in less time. You don't have to drive there. You don't have to fly there. Very useful. David has said before that he has used it quite a bit in his work, and it's been very useful for him.
Definitely recommend it. So give the 30-day trial a shot.
GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast is where you can get that free 30-day trial. We thank GoToMeeting and the Tech Podcast Network for their support of PHP BB Weekly. And so, and also, we're apparently going to be sponsoring Londonvasion this year as well. And so we'll be having a banner on our website about that. Of course, we'll be having more information as it comes out, but we're going to be doing a live PHP BB Weekly episode at Londonvasion, and you can go to phpbb.com to find out more about that wonderful conference as well. And because we've already talked about it quite to death on this show, as we've discussed.
Yeah. Oh.
So anyway, let's start at the very beginning, back before time. Well, okay, maybe not that far back, but I want to start by asking Patrick why you decided to write this book.
Well, with the book, really, it's something that I'm very passionate about, managing online forums, and I'm also a writer. I've written for a long time online and written editorials, news pieces, blog posts, any types of content online, and really just putting the two together, creating a book that I felt could help people by sharing my experience, my real-life experience, and just being a writer, and that was kind of how it came about.
Okay. Did you write this because you thought that there was a particular need for the book?
I think that's true. I mean, there are books out there, or there have been books out there about community, about not necessarily about forums specifically, but about community, and there's good books out there. You know, there hadn't been one that I saw in quite a while, so I did feel that there was a need, but I also felt that my experience with managing online forums, my experience managing my communities, was a unique part of the book and something that has not been done or not been done too much. So I really felt that that experience would help people, and that's kind of how I got to do the book.
It's interesting because it's a very young subject. Community discussion boards, these things have only been around for about pretty much this decade, since about the 2000s or so, because the internet also is quite young. And one of the things I thought that was nice about your book is that it really tackles things that a lot of other books do not tackle. Like, a lot of books are about, okay, how you set up the website and how you install the software and other settings you may want to tweak, and then that's it. Go run your community and have fun. And yet there's a lot more things you really need to know.
Yeah, most of them have been like a how-to, you know, how do you get going, you know, how do you install it, you know, how do you do this and how do you do that. This is just what you need to know to manage it.
But right. Just dealing with the everyday situations that you're going to have to run into on your board. And so many admins, you know, kind of have to figure that out on their own.
In fact, I was talking with somebody who had read the book, and they're like, oh, you know, this is all stuff we already know. And I'm like, yes, it's stuff that you and I already know because
we've learned.
We run large communities, and what I kind of found interesting was going through this. I'm like, okay, wow, you know, that's, you know, I'd never read a manual on how to run a large community, and yet over the last 2 years, you know, we've just sort of figured out, and it's like, gosh, you know, this is almost exactly what we do, and in some cases a little bit different, but it's like it's what we do. So for a lot of forum admins who are trying to get started, it is definitely very, very useful to read through there and know how to handle people. And I know Douglas's favorite part was how to handle, what was it, troublesome people?
We'll get there. We're going to go through the book eventually.
But, you know, definitely one of the things that I've used it for as an actual usage is, you know, I've used some of the templates as references, because I haven't built my templates yet for contacting users.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of them, and it's kind of funny. I was like, that is almost identical to the book, but it's I don't have a lot of them that are in there. So that's what I've used it for.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely something that I had in mind. The book is management. It's not software. It's not kind of the how-to of software. You know, that's out there. People can learn that. You can do that. You know, but really I want to talk about management, because that's where you're going to spend your time when you're managing an online community. You know, you get that software going, you're going to keep it maintained, keep it upgraded, you know, customize it here and there. But a majority of your time is going to be spent actually on the forums, talking with people, removing posts, managing staff, and all that great stuff. And, you know, for experienced administrators or for inexperienced administrators, I think the book has value to both. You know, if you're inexperienced, you know, this is something that can help you get that experience that it'll take maybe 5 to 10 years to pick up a lot of this stuff. Not even all of it, but a lot of it. And then if you are experienced, like you guys, like myself, like many others, I feel that it is kind of something that can add to your knowledge, or can make you think a little differently, or maybe just confirm what you already feel. I think that there is definitely value in there for both groups.
But what I find very significant about this book, while I was reading about this book, I was thinking about the first time I started using PHP BB. Back in mid-2004, I had discovered it, and I tried to use it to start up a forum or two of my own. And that was not exactly the best example back then. And you know, my first board – okay, I'll go ahead and tell this story. My first board actually was called Fountain of Apples. That's where the name Fountain of Apples comes from. It was my first bulletin board with PHP BB. I found some free web host that wasn't that great, but I found it anyway, installed PHP BB, and it was like, okay, now what do I do? I've installed the board. What do I do now? And that's sort of where the user documentation leaves you off. Someone had told me about phpbbhacks.com. This is before I knew that phpbb.com had its own mod database. So I made the terrible mistake of going to phpbhacks.com, downloading 10 big mods, installing them all at the same time, never having worked with code before, well, not with PHP before, installed the mods all at the same time, went up, and all of a sudden, it wasn't working. The site was not working, and I was like, okay, which mod caused the problem? I have absolutely no idea. That was my first experience into the right way and the wrong way to install mods. But then, you know, it's like, okay, how do you – had done a number of other communities later on, which didn't go very far, because I was under – partly because I was under the illusion that, you know, you install a community, you're the administrator, but then pretty much the community runs itself. You know, people are discussing and talking about things, and that's pretty much all you have to do. I found out that, no, a community is actually a lot of work to be able to run and manage and maintain. And that's a lot of what you talk about here in your book, Patrick. And I was just thinking the whole time reading this book, if only I had read this book back in 2004, I might have been more successful, or I might have just been intimidated and decided not to do it at all. But it's
right,
very useful
right,
stuff.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's very useful stuff for a new person to be – who wants to be an administrator, that they should really find out, because, you know, the internet is such that anyone who wants to start up a website or a blog or anything like that, they have the ability to do it. But what separates what people go to from what people don't go to are the other things that aren't necessarily written down, but the quality of the content, the quality of the staff, the quality of the design and the website. And that's a lot of the other unwritten things that your book covers.
And I think you pretty much nailed the nail on the head there, because there's a lot of communities out there. I mean, there are literally millions of communities out there. And what creates an active community, what creates a vibrant community, one that people will go to, does really depend on the staff, the quality of the staff, and you know, the quality of the content that's actually on the board. Now, that's not to say that all boards have quality content that people do visits, because there are quite a few out there that are like, you know – illegal sites that we won't mention. That, you know, the quality is not, or the content of the call is not quality, but yet people visit it. But you know, that really does separate it. It's when people come by and they feel a good vibe, basically, is the way I'll put it, of your site. That's what will continue to bring them there. And of course, your participation in the community is very, very, very plays a very, very key role in a successful community, and I think that's what you did highlight in the book, which was good.
Thanks, definitely. Yeah, atmosphere, the kind of the focus of the community is something that I'm a big believer in. Having a focus, knowing what you want to do, who you want to be, who you want to attract, not trying to be everything to everyone. You know, like you said, a community that have illegal content, you know, that's something that I allow on my communities. You obviously don't allow on yours. So that's part of our kind of community's persona, is that we have these communities where these sorts of illegal activities aren't allowed, and then we'll naturally attract people who have that similar mindset. And if people do come who don't, you know, they may be filter that out over time. But having the right atmosphere, having a focus are definitely big parts of creating a vibrant community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go ahead, David.
Go ahead. Actually, I did have a question for based on that.
Well,
how do you define an active community? What defines an active community?
You know, I don't really know if you can define active, you know, across the board. I mean, there is active as in a few people hanging around. There's active as in tons and tons of people. I think it depends on your site, what your goals are, what you want to get out of it. You know, the big communities, small communities, both of them can have tremendous value for the people who visit them and appreciate them. So I don't know if active, if I can define it in a certain level of activity or numbers, but it's just kind of a feeling, I guess.
If you don't mind, I'd like to actually, on the subject, there's a good part of the book, if it's all right for me to read an excerpt.
Do it.
All right.
Let's have it.
This is from the first chapter where you talked about laying the groundwork, and this section is called, and I'll just jump around in this section, but it's called, What Skills and Characteristics Do You Need to Have?
Right.
What is the most important piece of the initial cultivation and development of your community? You. You, as the community administrator, determine a lot. You will be a major factor in the success, or hopefully not, failure of your community. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be God's gift to community administration. You do need to be open to new ideas, open to learning, and committed to doing the best work that you can. Nothing is handed to you. You will have to work. The best administrators that I know are active participants in their communities. It's a good thing for people to see the administrator posting along with them, welcoming them to the community, etc. It helps to lower the disconnect. It helps them to think of you less as some higher figure of authority and more as a person. It also gives you the opportunity to set a posting example that others can follow. Everywhere you go and everything you do will reflect on you and your community. Do not ever forget that. Always carry yourself with this in mind. I just jumped around a bit through that section, but that's a very key part of the book that and that's a very common theme throughout the book. What you do, the way you handle situations, the way you represent your community really has to do with whether or not your community will be successful or not, and whether or not you'll be able to attract the people that are approaching your website with your community with an interest in participating.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in examples coming from the top of the community. You know, the administrator of the forums, I feel, needs to set the example when it comes to how you act, how you participate. Not necessarily participating a lot as the administrator. You know, posting, being a part of the community is what you want to be. You don't necessarily want to be the top poster or, you know, reply to every thread. That just will get annoying. But, you know, you definitely want to set the example for other members to follow in everything that you do. You know, you're under a microscope more than the average user. So if you do something that is questionable, then that's going to be thrown into criticism faster than anything they will do, because they're just a member. So you really have to set the ideal and carefully consider everything that you do as the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
But also a community in many ways reflects the personality of the administrator by both the way, you know, because it – some of that can be rules. Some of that can be, you know, demonstration. You know, it's like, okay, this is the kind of thing that I do or what I allow. And people always push the boundaries. And if you're, you know, if you're allowing all kinds of stuff, then, you know, people will post all kinds of stuff. Whereas if you're not and you've got those boundaries set, then, you know, you could have a, you have a lot better chance of keeping control over the community, and especially with your staff, if as long as they respect you, and that's of course very important, then you're going to have a successful community that way.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's very true. Very true. Is having policies in mind and enforcing those policies evenly and fairly across everyone, that's very important. That's very true. It's not so much, when you want to remove a post from a community, when you have something questionable or something inappropriate, you never want to say, I removed your post because X. You want to say, I removed your post because it was in violation of our user guidelines as X. So you're not pulling imaginary rules out of your head. These are actually documented policies that you have on your site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what surprises me, I think, with the biggest thing that surprises me about users is that, we get a lot of people who will contact me and it's like, these people are forum administrators? It doesn't make sense to me because I'm like, they don't even know the first thing about, communication, let alone forum administration. And communication is very, very key with an online community. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's
right,
what a community is about. Go ahead.
Who was talking?
I think we lost.
Sorry, I didn't mean. I just talked a little into David, and I didn't mean to, so I stopped.
Okay, go ahead. What you were going to say then?
No, I was going to say he's definitely right. Communication is definitely a big thing in all aspects of the community. Members need to communicate with each other. When you, for example, have to contact a member about a violation or something that they did, you have to communicate to them what they did so they can improve and know not to do it in the future. You have to communicate with your staff, and your staff has to communicate with you. Everyone has to understand each other.
What I like to do is to do, I guess I'm going to call it chapter hopping, but I like to go through a bit of through each of the chapters of your book because each of them cover different, very important aspects of really everything that you need to do to build a successful community. Your first chapter is a short one. You call laying the groundwork, but it's actually something that covers a lot of the fundamental decisions that you have to think about. A lot of people just want to, and I did this myself, just want to install a community for the sake of running a community without coming up with goals and a vision for what it's going to be. And your first chapter spends some time talking about what will your community cover? Who do you want to attract? What will the benefits of it be? How will you support your community? Things like that.
Here's a good example of one that's bad. I see some communities that will come out and they'll just start out. Like the administrator will have created the community, mm-hmm. and they'll put they'll create 100 forums of every topic.
Yeah, I've seen this
on their forum, and it's like, okay,
forum
you
overkill.
You have no clue what the site's about. It has no no target, no. Mm-hmm. And then those communities will never survive. I have never seen a community that just discusses anything and is for anything survive.
If you want something that's for anything, you probably should just set up a chat room somewhere.
Yeah, really. So and the other thing is that that and them starting like 100 forums. So it's like when a few people come, because when your forum is just getting going, you're not going to have 1,000 people instantly. They're going to start trickling in. They really will. So if you have 100 forums, and some people start posting, it still looks very empty for months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I'd be curious, Patrick, if you could tell us about some of your experiences. When you wrote this chapter about planning your site, planning goals. So I know you've still been launching one or two new communities recently, and how you sort of built this up, I guess.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Well, sure. No, I try to put thought into things, not to think them to death, but mm-hmm. before you do anything, you definitely want to give it a little thought how it'll play out. What do you want to be? Like David said, you don't want to just throw up a forum and put and just not have any kind of focus. Have cooking, sports, baseball, technology, programming, baby care, all this stuff together. You want to have something in mind that will that will draw people, and at least something to start from. You can always expand, you can always become more, but you know, you need to have something at the start that will draw people in, something you can focus on and you can really get into, and that you can grow the site from there. You know, knowing what you want to do beforehand, realizing the responsibility of managing a community is very important. You know, it's an interview. This is actually a question that's come up a number of times in the interviews I've been doing, and it's really, there's so much more to forums than just throwing up the software. Like we've talked about already, yes. You know, you don't just put it up and then come back once a week. You know, managing forums is, if it's not a daily thing, it's nearly a daily thing. You know, it doesn't have to be hours and hours a day, but it does need to be, you know, some portion of time every day to keep the kind of the hedges trimmed, so to speak, to keep things going, to maintain it and keep trouble users off the community, keep things activity-wise going, you know, especially at the start. It's very important. So, you know, you need to understand that it's a time commitment, that it's a responsibility. You can't just throw it up and leave it. There's also, even though it's usually not very much, a financial responsibility to it, domain name, hosting, you know, those sorts of things. Hey, you have to be willing to pay that money and keep it going. You don't want to, you know, launch a community and then in 3 months say, well, this hosting bill, you know, is kind of annoying. I don't want it anymore. You know, you need to be clear on that you're going to have a little bit of an expense, at least investment-wise, and have to be comfortable with that.
And what's interesting about a forum is that, or community, whichever you want to call it, is that it's a lot more dependent on – it's a lot less dependent on just you while you have to be there to sort of be the leader. It also is very dependent on, you know, the fact that people are participating. If you don't have anyone who's there and participating, then it's going to fail. It's not like a blog. You know, I have a personal blog and people may read it. People may not read it. I don't care. I do it because that's what I want to do. I'm the one in charge of it. And so I blog, and whether or not people read it or not, it's fine. But a community is much more dependent on many people contributing to discussions. So it really is much more dependent on you having an interest in it in order to keep it going and to be able to attract people to it.
Right, it's always easier and more fun to do something that you're passionate about, something you enjoy. You know, that's definitely the case.
Yes. After your first chapter, you move on to then this is sort of the most technical chapter in the book, which is your chapter on developing your community. And this is probably the chapter in the book that people who already have a community will skip. It's one that's from a number of other places in the book. But you also talk about a number of things in terms of not just setting up a community, but branding in many cases, like choosing a name for your site and a domain name and how important that is.
Choosing your software.
Yeah, that's the one place where you pull out some software suggestions, like vBulletin and PHPBB. And
right.
With other things like that. But even then, there's a lot of other things, like whether or not you should require registration to participate, or smileys and sensors and things like that, and spammers.
Setup options, user options, yeah, all that stuff.
You know, I've had so many communities that I've seen that they were so excited to know, we're going to set forums for this site, but they did not know that it's a good idea to require user activation or registration. It's a good idea to not let guests post in your forums. And they did not set that up correctly. And then they said, hey, I got so many spam registrations, and I can't manage it, and so I'm just going to give up.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and for some people, it really is. And you know, if they're really not wanting to put most of their full attention on their board, then they really shouldn't be running one, is the truth, really.
But even a lot of other unwritten rules, it's like, you know, if you want to eliminate some of these problems, require user activation for registration, have a CAPTCHA on there, well, a readable CAPTCHA anyway, and don't allow guests to post on your forums, and that will dramatically decrease the amount of spam that you can have because it requires a certain amount of accountability from your users.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think we actually had an extensive spam PHP Weekly not long ago with some time ago.
A spam PHP Weekly?
Yeah, we discussed spam.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that, but it's back there somewhere.
Yeah, it was back there somewhere.
What are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
My thoughts on what? I'm sorry?
We were talking about spam and certain things that, you know, people need to do when they're setting up their community.
Right, no, I listened. I didn't know what the question was. So I'm sorry.
Well, I was just –
I heard what you said.
I was reminiscing on sites that are like – that don't bother to do certain basic things that a lot of people really do not know. You know, they're not supposed to leave it open to guests these days, because guests are just pretty much equal spammers these days. There's no reason for, you know, people to not register.
Right, there's things that you definitely want to do, like you've touched on, account activation, not allowing guest posters, having a cap, those sorts of things. But like David said a moment ago, you know, these challenges that come up with early communities, and they happen at all stages of communities, you know, early, mm-hmm. middle, late, small, big, large, you know, sites that don't have any traffic get spammed by bots. So it does, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter the size of the traffic. It takes someone who is committed to the community and is willing to put in that effort and not just throw in the towel when, you know, the few spam posts come around or they get overwhelmed. You know, there has to be a level of commitment there to make changes, to try things, to see what works and see what doesn't, especially with spammers and with those sorts of robotic, usually trouble issues.
Yeah.
And of course, smaller forums get spammed a lot, but the larger forums usually have protection, so people try harder to spam them.
Mm.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you see more real person spam than robot spam usually.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's an issue that we have with PHPBB3. The CAPTCHA is really good on PHPBB3, so I think...
I hope it's more readable than it was in the betas.
It is. It is a lot more readable. In fact, I was just updating a site over the last week that mm-hmm. was built on a beta 3, and so I had to update it to 3.0.1, and it was like looking at the CAPTCHA for that going, gosh, you know, I am sure glad we changed the CAPTCHA.
Yeah, I had someone, and this is going completely off topic, but we were talking about Twitter before the shows began, and I actually had someone earlier this week post a screenshot of a CAPTCHA that Twitter put on there, and you could not read a thing in there. It was full of white and black squares, and supposedly there's supposed to be a word inside there, but it's impossible to read that kind of thing.
Yeah. The thing to remember is that as long as you can read it, bots can read it. But you kind of have to strike a balance between, well, you know, what's too much?
Mm-hmm. Because so. Chances are, if you can't read it, bots can still read it. After all, a computer designed it, so there you go. A lot of sites are using the logic things, like what's 5 + 7 or things like that, which just makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your third chapter, now this is one I think we can spend some time on. It talks about developing guidelines. And before I read this chapter, I actually never quite considered just how important user guidelines were. And of course, when I first set up my first board, like, I didn't even bother to post user guidelines. But it's interesting because there's so many possible things that users could do on your forums. It's kind of important to have written guidelines there so that you can, when you have to make decisions, you have something to back yourself up.
Mm-hmm. And I think some people would say, oh, well, yeah, but people don't go and read your rules, or they won't go and read your guidelines. And although that's true, that's not a reason to not have them. Definitely not.
I hear what Patrick has to say about guidelines.
Well, guidelines are very important. Like you said, I mean, guidelines are kind of the foundation for the community in a way, along with participation. They're kind of a vision statement is how I look at them. You know, mm-hmm. this is the vision of the community, how we're going to act, what kind of content we allow, how we will converse, how we'll interact. Kind of the whole atmosphere of the community is in part set by those guidelines. If you require respect and you make sure that your guidelines are enforced, your community will be respectful. If you don't, you know, it might not be. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have guidelines and they're enforced, that's how your community is going to turn out if it all goes as it should. So however you want your community to be, if you want it to be based upon respect, if you don't want spamming, if you don't want affiliate links, illegal activities like we touched on earlier, mm-hmm. you know, these are all things that should be mentioned in the guidelines so that everyone can be on the same page. Like David said, you know, they don't read them sometimes or a lot of the time. That doesn't mean that...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you were still talking. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, you know, he's definitely right. People don't read them. It's an unfortunate part of life. Mm-hmm. They don't read the software agreements they agree to. They don't read terms of service. It's just the way it is. But those things still exist for a reason.
Yeah.
You can put a visible link up to them. You know, you don't hide your guidelines. Have links in them. I have a link in my signature. We link in every PM we send to users about a violation.
Uh-huh.
So they're always there for you to reference, and that's really their most valuable purpose is reference. You know, when you have a violation, you can say that this is in our user guidelines, and that's why, and it's not appropriate. Rather than, like we said earlier, pulling rules out of your head, imaginary things that people won't know. So it's important to have those guidelines.
Something I find very interesting is you talk one or two points in this book, and you begin in this chapter about guidelines, about freedom of speech and how it applies on forums or doesn't apply on forums, as the case may be.
Right.
Tell us, I'd interested to hear a bit more about your take on that.
Well, freedom of speech doesn't really fit on a professionally run community because freedom of speech is basically allowing people to say whatever they want.
Uh-huh.
That includes spamming, vulgar language, disrespectful comments, inflammatory comments, hot linking, you know, whatever. So obviously, if you're going to have a community that's moderated, freedom of speech is not 100% there. You know, you allow people to have their opinions and you always want to do that, but it's also within your guidelines. There's a difference between saying, I disagree with you because X, and you're a moron, your viewpoint is worthless. You know, there's different ways to converse and to explain an opinion or to debate a point. So that's something I always try to drive home. It's not necessarily what you say, but how you say it. People can disagree. People can discuss, debate, interact however they want. But it must be respectful. It must be without vulgar language. It's just very important to have that sort of order in the community so that things can be productive rather than just going into all of this kind of back and forth personal attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you write freedom of speech, the first thing I thought when I saw freedom of speech, oh, you're probably going to say how important it is for everyone to be able to have free speech and be able to equality of opinions, and all of a sudden you're talking about, like, you cannot have freedom of speech because people, there are certain things that people should not be able to say, what?
Yeah, no way, no. But, you know, it's like I said, I like freedom of speech. I appreciate it, certain, you know, as an American, but it's not something that you need to, that it should be allowed on online forums that are privately owned and professionally managed. You know, there has to be some sense of order, and that order, by its very definition, limits quote unquote freedom of speech.
There should still be enough freedom of speech that people can agree to disagree. You know,
that's the point. Yeah.
Don't make your forum biased, like you only allow one point of view on a particular topic. It just means that there's something that should not be said.
Right. But when people think freedom of speech, or at least a lot of people, and I'm sure you guys have both had experience with this, when you remove someone's post and they did something awful, you know, and they get mad, maybe you banned them, maybe you did something, and they're like, where's freedom of speech, you know? And it's kind of like
here,
this
maybe
encompassing term.
Exactly. I mean,
I can't say I've ever had that. I think it goes back to really if you have a respectable – I mean, because you'll either have a spammer who is like doesn't care about anything and will either cuss you out or just leave. Or if you have somebody who is an interested member, you know, who is somebody who is interested in being part of the community who will respond, it really depends on how much respect you have gained from the community. It will depend on the kind of response that you get. That's what I've seen mostly. You know, I've, you know, of course, managed Start Your Guide for 2 years, and it's become very, very active at this point. I mean, we get between 150 and 200 posts a day, and I do a lot of the moderating myself, and it's I probably get one bad reply in 4 months. I mean, the majority is that, oh, I'm sorry, you know, it does really depend on the amount of respect that you have in a community. You will always have those really nasty replies, but they've been very rare for us, fortunately.
Right. Nasty replies are really a part of managing an online community, especially one that gains a certain level of traction. It also depends on the subject matter of your site, the typical type of audience. You know, the type of thing you discuss can impact, you know, what you get as replies, how much people expect to be able to say whatever they want. And, of course, you have a group of people who, as you said, just are nasty in general and will say nasty things, curse you out, as you said, and call you all sorts of names. So that kind of group is always there no matter what you do. And that's just kind of one refrain that I've heard a lot, and that really it's pretty common in general. So, you know, it's just those people are always going to be there.
You know, I like to bring up about 90 years ago, a Supreme Court case, the majority opinion had the thing that said, freedom of speech does not cover yelling fire in a crowded theater. Interesting.
The theater's privately owned.
any crowded theater, because you know that if you say that, people will be trampled on, and then you'll say freedom of speech. Just no, you it's not appropriate still. So there are times when freedom of speech should not apply.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to back to what the definition of freedom of speech is. You know, it's like, are you just going to allow everybody to cuss everybody out? That's not, you know, not allowing that doesn't mean you're not allowing freedom of speech, and that's really the point. Mm-hmm. You can still have freedom of speech on our – I consider that our board has freedom of speech.
Yes.
But it still means that, you know, people can't spam. Mm-hmm. People can't just post whatever they want. So in that definition, it's not freedom of speech. But that's that's different though. That's something that's just – that's just inappropriate, you know, and regardless, it's like, you know, well, you had the freedom to post it there, and I had the freedom to remove it.
That's not the freedom, no.
It's a very flexible definition. I mean, after all, there are certain things people cannot say on TV or the radio, for example. You have to bleep it out. So,
even though you have freedom of speech there, it's still, you know, there's still things that you cannot say, and this it's really the same thing with boards.
Exactly.
So it goes back again to really what's the definition of it. And I think Patrick laid it out pretty clearly what the definition – or what he was saying, what the definition of freedom of speech was on page 71.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like in the book, and it's partially because Patrick having a lot of experience running a number of boards, is that not only do you spend a lot of time talking about various things in the book. I mean, you spend like about 10 pages about everything you could or could not put into user guidelines, but then you actually include actual examples from your own sites of like user guidelines and later on, you know, staff guidelines and other things like that throughout your book, which is like a regular example of it in action. And then in the appendix, you give actual templates for the guidelines and other things that you can use for websites that want to just insert their own name in it.
Right. You know, I definitely recommend that you craft your own based upon your needs as a community, what your goals are, and you know, depending on the subject, you'll have specific needs as well.
Yeah.
Like a development community might have or need the guidelines for a kind of design reviews forum or a marketplace type forum or, you know, those sorts of things. But I felt that, you know, the basis of having a template to start with or at least look at and see what they really look like is definitely something that would be helpful. So that's why we included it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also available on the website as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. One thing that that I've had happen a lot is that I've got a lot of members who have contacted me saying, "Hey, can we really like your board rules or your community guidelines? Can we use those?" And certainly, you know, I'm like, "Sure, absolutely, you know, go use those about everything." But it's a lot of times that's a good place to start. People need a good place to start because it's like what we did. It's like it's like, okay, we need a rule for this. We need a rule for this. This instance came up, so we added a rule for that. So what you can do to prevent reinventing the wheel is you can go to a site that you often visit, and they usually have community guidelines, especially if they have a lot of traffic, a lot of people visiting there, a lot of members.
I remember, David, that in an earlier version, at least, of the Star Trek Guide user guidelines, it looked an awful lot like the user guidelines on phpbb.com.
And they still do, and that has a lot to do with the fact that our content matter is nearly identical. I mean, it's a PHPBB board based upon PHPBB. It offers support. It's a programming academy for PHPBB. So, yes, it has a lot. I mean, there's a lot of similarities to it. And certainly that is where we got some of them. We made some of them on our own, and certainly we add some as we go. Looks like we just lost Patrick.
Oh, I'll have to fix that. There's a number of things that are just going to be universal across the board. I mean, no one is going to want to have someone be able to post about 200 smileys within a single post because that's just going to cause chaos, and that's pretty much universal across any board. And we got
or spam. Out. Spam is fairly universal as well,
exactly.
The same way. So, you know, you have the same guidelines pretty much. It's just like you can look at another community, and if you really like their guidelines, it's like, yeah, that really would apply, or the majority of that really apply to my board. You can ask the admin, and they I've never heard of anybody saying no, but you know it's really polite to just ask, you know, can I use your guidelines? You know, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then you can modify it to suit your board. Mm-hmm. You know, so which
yeah,
is what we did.
with well, they're definitely polite to ask and also polite to respect their decision, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, I know I've seen other communities where I've seen they had a guideline where I would say, you know, that's a good idea. This is a while back, but that's a great idea. You know, I like that. I like the guideline. So I would actually just reached out to the admin and asked, you know, can I grab this guideline? I really like it. The idea behind it, and I'll write it, you know, in my own way or whatever. But and they said, yeah, sure. So it's definitely nice to kind of have that mutual respect between administrators and people in the field, because you want to, you know, you want people to respect you, so respect them. It's kind of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The next chapter, chapter 4, talks about promoting your community, and this is obviously something I'm sure a lot of people who have new communities are wanting to find out about. How do you promote a community without the right way to do it, without making it seem like you're spamming other places to let people know about your community? And it'd be interesting if we could talk a little bit about what you can do in terms of promotion.
I'd say this is probably the section that I actually have not gone and read, which
should.
Is kind of, yeah, I know I should. But first of all, I would say usually sites are not just, okay, you know what, I want to start a forum. Okay, why do you want to start a forum? What are you targeting? You know, there, you have that aspect. It's like somebody who just starts a forum to start a forum.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some difficulty promoting that.
Yes.
Because it's not based on anything, and it's just, if people want, you know, it's like, okay, for example, Star Trek Guide was founded Star Trek Guide is weird. It was founded on Star Trek sites, right? But we went, you know what? We want to use the PHPBB3 software. It was not even at beta 1 yet. So we're like, we're just going to say, hey, if you want to help
break every
test,
rule in the book, David. Just break every rule in the book.
Yes. We would, you know, just help test this software, help it get to beta, because what we did is we're like, okay, we put up a live board, everybody can register and test. We'll make, you know, we said, you know, if you want to be a staff member, just request, and we'll make you a staff member so you can test the moderator control panel, because not everybody has the ability to install the board. And that way, we're able to go through and it's like, okay, here's a bug. You know, we hit a lot of instances running a live test board that you wouldn't have had in most test situations, which is really, there were hardly any test situations for PHPBB3. And so that's one way that we went, okay, we found all these bugs and helped it get to beta 1 that way. But then what happened was PHPBB.com did not support beta installations, but we're like, we're running a beta installation, so we'll support it. And so people started coming to Star Trek Guide to get support for their live installations, which was illegal. And on the teams then, I certainly wouldn't have done it, but you know, we did do it then. And it became, you know, over time, it became this board where it became support for PHPBB, and then eventually support for writing modifications for PHPBB. Really, that it moved from the support phase to the writing modifications phase fairly quickly, because that's where most of our expertise lied. And so then it was really based upon that. So, you know, and you know, it's kind of funny, because after a while it's like the name doesn't really fit what we do anymore.
Yeah. And you know, PHPBB Weekly had an interesting time getting going. You know, back the first few months, like, nobody, it was like, nobody heard, knew about it, nobody listened to it, until, like in May or so of 07, I think it was you, David, that had, PM'd me or contacted me or something like that. You said you were interested in, you know, doing like a promotional thing with Star Trek Guide and mentioning PHPBB Weekly in your newsletters. And then at one point we had you on the show as a guest. I had you on the show as a guest, and all of a sudden I was noticed, like, wow, I'm starting to actually have people joining the podcast live, downloading it. And then eventually you became co-host because you knew a lot of stuff. But you know, it's interesting. That's another opportunity for promotion. Find a place that's willing to, you know, work with you.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, I'll promote your site if you promote my site, sort of the deal. And that works pretty well.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of the concept behind, you know, site trade-offs. Like, you put a link on your site, I'll put a link on mine. And then
a lot of sites do that, yeah, for free.
And then, of course, they went into that went really heavily into the spam world too. But
yeah.
Finishing my thought on how we promoted Star Trek Guide, it was a lot of it was just in a signature help test. PHPBB. That's how we got our initial members. And then over time, as we went, okay, we're really being very PHPBB based, and we tried multiple times to change our name, but everybody's like, no, you can't change it. They liked it too much. I'm like, I think we tried 5 times to change this name of the site, and we could not do it. People wouldn't go for it. It was weird. But anyway, so and then you have that, and then you have a lot of people who are like, you put it in your signature, and you post on other sites, you know, offering a lot of advice and support and on other sites, and people will go, you know, wow, I really like, you know, the support that this guy offers, and they'll look in your signature and see what you have. And then that's how you get some traffic. You know, so but a lot of sites are really going to, or a lot of boards are really going to be dependent on the content of the site. They're usually sites that want a community. So you already have a base, you know, it's like, what's your site about? And then your community is going to provide the discussions for what your site is about. And that's probably where mm-hmm. your big user base is going to come from most people.
We haven't given Patrick a chance yet to talk about site about promotion. So, Patrick, you're up.
No, that's cool. I'm just listening to you guys.
Yeah, we talked. We're almost doing the whole show for you.
No, there's a lot of good points in there. You know, there's different things you can do with promotion. Like a community online is just another website in a way. It's a type of website. So how you promote a website, most of that stuff will also apply to how you promote a community. You know, one thing that I find is, you know, what is not considered, and this is a section in the book, what's not considered promotional can be promotional sometimes. Like David talked about activity and the content. Some people, or a lot of people, might not consider that quote-unquote marketing or promotion, but it's directly tied to the success of any marketing or promotion endeavor you undertake.
Because partially, I'll piggyback on that, because if someone does find your website via whatever promotion you've done, if they look at if they go to your site out of curiosity, they look at your site and they see that it's active, that it looks appealing, that can be the second step. The first step is getting the link out there, but the second step is getting them to register. And those kind of quote-unquote non-promotional things can be useful in getting people to actually take the step, the plunge into your website.
Well, that's good content.
Yes, that too. You're saying?
Because you can have a – sorry, Patrick, interrupt you for a second.
That's okay. You can have a
brand new board, and it's like, well, how do you get members to a brand new board? Well, you can already have content on that board that is very relevant that people may want to discuss. And if people want to discuss it, they'll register and then they'll discuss it. And then that's how you generate traffic from no traffic at all. So, but anyway,
that's
go
right.
ahead.
That's okay. That's right. I mean, even if you spend money on marketing, if you have some money, maybe you spend X amount of dollars on Google AdWords, or you advertise on a related site. You know, even if you spend money and you bring people to your site that way, what they see on your site is going to impact whether or not they stay. So things like content and activity play a direct role in that, where you could be wasting your money or at least not getting the bang for your buck that you could be getting if you had some activity going, kind of like we've discussed already. You know, with communities, a lot of it is content, like David has been saying, and really allowing people to find that content, making sure they can find it through search engines and through other means, kind of bringing them in and showing them what you have, getting it in front of their eyes so they can see, you know, this is a good community, we have activity, we have what you want, perhaps, and just going at it from that direction.
Okay. Proto Tech in the chat room had a question. What if you're on a site where the owner or administrator is not really seen as a leader, and should you try to take the site over, the position over yourself, or what should you do?
Should you try to take the lead being an administrator?
Yeah.
So if the site is – if the administrator is not a leader, in what way? Is he just not there at all, or does he not post? Is
there a certain answer us.
I mean, I'm going to go at it from a general perspective. Let's say he's just not there at all. In that case, you know, he's the administrator. I assume this is like most forums. He owns the forum. You don't take over the forum any more than you go to someone's house and jump inside and, you know, take it over. You know, you just can't do that. I mean, you could introduce yourself and say, hi, my name is X. I'm passionate about this community. I was wondering if you'd like to sell it or maybe we could swap off or something in some cases. And maybe he'd be open to that. Maybe not. You know, it's his choice and you have to respect that either way. But, you know, if you're getting what you need from the community, if you enjoy it, even if the administrator isn't necessarily seen as a leader, you know, if you enjoy it, then that's what it is. I mean, if you derive enjoyment, it's worth being there. Otherwise, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead and finish your thought.
No. I mean, Otherwise, you may want to go somewhere else or start your own forums. But taking over someone else's is kind of an odd thing. You really have to speak with them first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say more than likely, if you're passionate about a particular community and the owner administrator is not seen as a leader, first of all, those cases usually aren't recipes for successful boards, first off. But, okay, let's say you are passionate about a community and the owner administrator is not really seen as a leader. You can request, hey, can I be a moderator and really, you know, want to spend my time here, you know, being a staff member of the board. And then you can become a staff member and just, you know, that may be enough, but you can't take the lead if you are not the administrator / owner of the board. You know, the only way that you could do that is if really he sold it to you or said, or hey, you know, do you want to take it over? It's not really something that you as a member can just do. And certainly you don't even want to ask that question if you're not a staff member already.
Yeah.
Hostile takeover, Viva la Revolution.
And that's actually a good segue into the next chapter, which is managing your staff. Or I think a good subtitle would be, you don't have to do it all by yourself. And
that's very true.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I like about your book is you include a lot of various quotes from various famous people that refers to what you're talking about. But this chapter has my favorite quote. It's from Dwight Eisenhower, where he says, "You don't lead by hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership." I like that one. But it's interesting because, a lot of sites are like, should I do it all by myself? Should I have staff? Should I have moderators? What do the moderators do? What do the moderators do? How do I control what they do? And you have actually a lot of tips in here about that, but also a lot of other ideas, such as you being the ultimate decider of everything out there, which is actually something I find a little interesting. It's not something I had thought of before.
Well, I mean, ultimate decider, I don't want to seem like you have to be the ultimate decider for everything in the universe. That wasn't really – I mean, that's not really what I'm going at there. What I mean really is that on staff and as a staff, as the administrator, sometimes you have site-related decisions that need to be made. When I have any difficult decision in front of me, oftentimes I go to my staff and I ask them. I put it out there to them exactly how it is, and I ask, you know, what do you think? And I allow some time to pass and allow them to – I ask them for their thoughts, and I want to hear them, and then they provide them. I read them, and I make a decision. What I mean by that is that we don't talk about an important issue for weeks and weeks and let it go on and on. There needs to be someone who at the end of the day can make the decision rather than letting something become a bigger issue than it really should be.
Mm-hmm.
It going off on that thought, and speaking of it, John Jort, who's currently in the chat room at the moment, who is one of the administrators on Star Trek Guide, whenever we're making critical decisions and stuff, you know, we have a specific leaderboard for our administrators. We have a different one for our staff members. So, you know, we have our general staff discussions, and then we have our leadership discussions, which are, you know, the administrators where we make the higher up decisions. But anytime we're making a big decision for the board, especially, I'll post it and say, okay, what do you guys think of this? You know, what are your thoughts on this? What action should we take, or what avenue should we take? And they'll provide very valuable input, but they completely understand that the final say is, of course, up to Francis and myself as co-administrator or co-founders. And they're like, you know, you guys really need to make a decision on this, but here's what I think. And then, you know, they respect whatever decision we make.
Mm-hmm.
But that input is so valuable to go, you know, what do you, as an administrator, going, you know, what do you guys think we should do in this particular case? I have my own thoughts about it, but what do you think we should do? And that's very, very valuable input.
Yeah, it is definitely, because staff members are in the community a lot and they have a perspective, just as well as your own, from being around the members and participating and enforcing the guidelines and working to maintain the community along with yourself.
And as the owner, it's extremely important to listen to your staff members, because their advice can be extremely helpful. I found that John Jort is probably the single person that I rely on for my advice outside of Francis, you know, as a co-founder. So, you know, that is, you know, it's certainly very, very important to listen to that and go really taking those opinions and those suggestions seriously. So
I'll read another excerpt, which is the first paragraph of chapter five on managing your staff. Says, having an active and productive staff is vital. The larger the community, the more vital it is. It's important that you have confidence in your staff so that you don't have to be there at all times, can work on other things, or can even take a vacation with some peace of mind. Your staff members must be able to do their jobs in your absence and in your presence. Confidence starts with picking the right people, making sure that they understand their duties, and ensuring that the lines of communication between staff member and administrator are wide open. This chapter will help you to accomplish these objectives. I can just imagine seeing the people out there, if they didn't have this book, saying, how do I do that? It's intimidating.
Yeah, I did read some of this, and that was a very good chapter, especially with managing your staff and everything, for very, very important aspect of your site. Yeah.
It's hard because how do you really pick people and are able to trust them when you actually have never really met them in real life in many cases on these boards? How are you able to ensure that they will be able to do their jobs properly? And that really depends on how well you are able to empower them to do their jobs properly and give them the necessary resources.
But that and also really picking the members, it's like, how well can you identify a good person to be on your staff?
Right. For most communities, once you get going, you're pulling staff members out of your community. You want to pick the people from your community that are ideal members, that are, the example of how a member should act, people that are respectful, that respect your guidelines, participate in the site, help other people, are kind. People that set a good example for you, for your site, for your community. Those are the people you want on your staff. And, sometimes it's impossible to promote everyone and have everyone turn out good. Eventually, if you promote enough people, if you get big enough, if you do this long enough, you're going to have people who just don't work out for whatever reason. And it's not necessarily anyone's fault. It's just that, something happened where they aren't the right person, whether it be something in their personality, like they don't like being the bad guy sometimes, or they can't remove posts, they don't want to upset anyone. These sorts of things happen. But beforehand, before you even bring them on board, you can help to limit those situations by showing them your staff guidelines ahead of time. They should read it and agree to it, and so everyone's on the same page right from the get-go as far as what their responsibilities are, how they should go about them, what's expected of them in general. And that helps to eliminate situations coming up where you have a person who turns out not to be as qualified as you would have hoped.
Mm-hmm. You have a good section in this staff chapter called Moderation, the Process. And it's interesting because a lot of people often wonder, what's the best way for me to moderate on my board without making me seem like a dictator or a totalitarian person or things like that? And so you provide sort of the steps to how to moderate, such as recognizing violations, removing them, documenting those violations. It's good to have a good documentation system, which you describe how you can do, contacting users, et cetera, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I definitely think it's important to have a process in place. I mean, that one is just one that I like, recommend, and use because it's easy and anyone can set it up. Everyone has forms that can be searched and that can be set up to be private. It's an easy thing anyone can do with any type of form software. And it works very well because it's something I've done. Before you launch your community, you need to have this sort of process in place because it makes things so much easier. It's so much harder to try to come up with a moderation process when you have people already posting than it is, beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing too is regarding choosing staff, what we first did is who are our most active members, because those are the people that are truly dedicated to the community and who have some interest in it, and those are the people who if you ask them would be most likely to say yes to a staff promotion. And of course you want to as somebody who's had a lot of posts, you have a lot of opportunity to really watch them and see how they interact with the community, how they handle themselves in hot situations, how they argue or debate with members, because I'll debate with members, but I never lose their respect because of the way that I debate. And that's very, very important, is to choose those members who will never lose another member's respect because of the way they debate.
Yes.
The process really begins at choosing that member based on the posts that they have, and you want to choose somebody who is active, who is really dedicated to the board. But at the same time, you don't want to just blindly make that decision because they have the most posts, because you may have somebody who posts a lot, but they're really just kind of spammers. They just kind of post chat all over the place. It may not be bad. It's not something that necessarily should be removed, but they're not somebody who should necessarily be a staff member. So that's one. And then sometimes you'll have people say, hey, can I be a staff member here? And maybe they haven't had a whole lot of posts, but they're enough for you to determine what kind of person they are. And so sometimes Like at first we had like a junior moderator role, which was sort of like, we don't know how you're going to be in a moderator position. And so we're going to put you in this junior moderator role where you'll have less responsibilities and, you know, so we can kind of watch and see how you are. And then once you –
like a chain of promotion.
Yeah. And so then once you're – once they're in that position then and for a while and we've been able to watch them and see how they interact with the members and make sure the members respect them, then we move them up to a full moderator position. But there's also different positions on a board. Like you, most boards have administrators and moderators, but like we have administrators, moderators, development staff, support team members, style team members, and valued contributors. And not all of those, like some people are not going to be good in the moderator role, but maybe good in the support role. You still want to put them on your staff to have a position, but their role is really more support.
And sometimes there'll be some people that are very active contributors, and sometimes may decide you just like them to stay as a user and as an active contributor. They don't have to have a spot on your staff to still be a very valuable part of your community.
Right, and a good example of that is a guy named Lumpy on phpbb.com who has, I think, the second – let me take a look at it real quick. I think he has the second most posts next to Carl Semple, I believe. Looking it up here.
Oh, dear. We're going to become a
– yeah. Okay. All right. So Carl Semple, who has the most posts on phpbb.com, has 34,000 posts. And he registered in 2004. So in 4 years – no, not even 4 years. 3.5 years, he has 34,000 posts. Who is a registered user. He's never been part of the staff. Has 30,000 posts.
How many seconds are there in minutes are there in – 3 years. I know this is – there's 1,440 minutes in a day. So figure out – because it's like how many posts per minute is he doing?
Oh, gosh.
Per hour or whatever. that's crazy.
So it'd be easier to say per day. You know, he has –
yeah.
I think it's 1,574,800 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
He has 26.76 posts per day.
And Patrick R. Wonderful mathematician. You know,
I have a calculator hand.
As long as we're on random facts, I don't think anyone in the chat room has told us about King James yet.
and Techie Michael corrected me on it. He didn't write the Bible. He's one of the translators, or that's a translated version.
Right. Yep.
So he's a translator.
But as to who he is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who it's referring to, I don't know. It may just be a reference to the particular version.
I want to keep moving along because I'm looking at the time. Because I really want to talk about chapter 6. This is my favorite chapter of the book. And I think it's because it's the most entertaining chapter of the book. It's called Banning Users and Dealing with Chaos. And it's just interesting because Patrick – it becomes obvious here that Patrick's had years of experience because he has probably dealt with every – imaginable issue with bad users and chaos and then some that you could think of. And I was looking at some of the things that he's had to deal with and it made me feel quite sorry for him after reading this chapter and a little bit intimidated too. But this is some interesting stuff here. And so I was curious to wanting to hear Patrick's thoughts behind this particular chapter.
Well, for me, this is – I agree with you. It's definitely one of the more entertaining chapters. I think it's also one of the more valuable.
Yes.
I think that experience that's shared in this chapter, this is all – you know, this is real stuff. This is stuff that I've seen, I've had to deal with, and how I've dealt with it.
It should be a required reading for new administrators because it's this stuff, how you deal with these inevitable bad situations that will make or break your success as a community.
Right. I mean, these sorts of things, it may not be everyday things. Some of them are. Some of the things I've talked about are things that will come up frequently, like hidden spam and all those kind of good things. But, you know, this chapter is really just this real experience of dealing with the bad part of the bad parts of the Internet. I mean, the Internet is a great thing. It's made great things greater, bad things worse. So, you know, it's given some of these people an opportunity to try to do some damage online, and you need to be ready for that. You need to know what they'll do, how to deal with it, and just how to move on and keep moving forward. It's all about progressing.
Yeah. Got some things here. I want to point out some of the – let's see. Where's the worst section here? There's some juicy things in here.
198.
Thank you so much.
I've got that in front of me too.
Oh, this one's good. The "Hate him, my minions, hate him" section. You have with somebody who sends like his loyal followers to come and destroy your community, or admin to users attack. Tell us about right. what those were, since you dealt with these.
Well, it's basically what I laid out there. You know, it's just a situation where you had someone who ran a site or was at a site that was similar, and you know, he just didn't like me, and I really didn't give him any reason to. He just didn't like the idea of someone else doing it, and or someone else doing it first, and because it was a particular kind of flavor of something, not necessarily the same thing, and he just didn't like it and made up things and lied and did all these different things and made comments and tried to turn people just against me just as a new site without much in the, you know, without tons of traffic. And it was always kind of interesting to me, and I never really understood it, never really understood what it was about. I mean, I know what it was about. It was about jealousy to some extent and kind of, you know, just not wanting someone else to be there. But you know, it was
didn't
always
competition.
Like situation. Oh, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where you had someone who there's people out there who get really jealous and get really angry, and they'll do whatever they can to kind of slam you and knock you down and keep you from being successful. And that's just what that's about.
Yeah. And there's other very interesting things. You talk. You give a lot of information here about dealing with users who cause trouble after you have banned them, or either ban invaders or people who try to get the community to hate you for banning him. And this is right. interesting because I was reading this and I thought it would be interesting to see what solutions he has, because I would personally not know how to prevent somebody from who tries to evade bans by re-registering or causing problems. How do you eventually stop them from causing the problems?
You become a great programmer.
I think the answer is, in part, there's no be-all, end-all. You know, a lot of it comes down to persistence and your dedication and drive. I personally know that my drive and my dedication to my community, to protect my community, to keep us going forward, is greater than anyone else's drive to harm it. So, I mean, I will be here. I will stop anyone who does anything. I'm just that committed, and, you know, it's just never any question. So I know anyone who comes to my forums and tries to evade bans, they may get a moment of attention. Maybe they'll be allowed to do a few posts, you know, but then it'll be gone and they'll be done again. And, you know, they can do this as long as they want, and I'll keep going. You know, there are innovative solutions out there and things that can help you to kind of prevent people from coming back, things like the troll hack for PHPVB. Or for vBulletin, which is PHPB Weekly, but there's Global Ignore, or Attachy Goes to Coventry, I think is how you pronounce it. Basically, it's a simulated downtime, and really that's something that you should reserve for very, very special people that have evaded your bans repeatedly and made clear their desire to harm you. Yes. It's not something you pull out on the first draw. You know, I always give people a straight ban first, and second and third even. But, you know, if it's someone who's proven their desire to step around the obstacle, then you definitely need to do whatever you can in your power to prevent them from damaging your site. And that persistence is big into it. You know, if you're lucky enough to have someone that has a static IP, you know, you should first be very thankful. And second of all, and then ban it and hope they don't figure out that there's a way around it. And some people don't. If you run a community about a technical subject or web development, then it's not maybe going to be that effective. But if you run a community about just kind of a topic, you know, like sports or like general discussion or something like that, it may be pretty effective, because a lot of people who may discuss those subjects might not be big time into web development and the internet and computers and how they all work.
I'm always wary of IP bans, because I'm always afraid that because IPs change all the time, I might block some legitimate person out of a site who never did anything wrong.
And that's
right,
certainly.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you don't do it for everyone. You do it when you see patterns that arise, where you have an opportunity to stop something. And it's also not something that you need to hold in place forever either. You can unblock IPs after a certain period of time.
Yeah.
That's certainly important. In fact, Brandon pointed, he said, especially when you ban someone with their IP, they could just log in on a laptop as a new user. Actually, that in and of itself does not give them a new IP.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me back up a little bit and would say that I don't believe we have anybody banned on Star Trek Guide with an IP ban.
Good.
We banned everybody by username because, you know, that's usually your first step. If you have a persistent user, then you got to look and see if their IP changes a lot, then an IP ban is probably not a good idea. In fact, it's probably a really bad idea. It's only if they have a static IP that it would be a good idea.
And you can't really tell that very easily.
Right. But a mod like the troll mod, like Patrick said, is probably the best idea. And like what we would do is probably use a sneaky way where the user wouldn't know that we are keeping track of them every time they visit the site. And so then once – if we know who they are, if we can tag them no matter what username they registered or if they're unregistered or whatever, if we can tag them, then we can control what they see on the board. And
could you link me to that mod, David, so I can put that in the show notes? Because that
should I think Igor, Evil Heart, created it, and I don't know if he has published it or not, but I'll ask him.
Write that down, because if it's available on the web, I definitely want to get that on the show notes. I'm sure a lot of people mm-hmm. want to hear that, see that.
Yeah. And certainly it's fortunately on Star Trek Guide, we haven't had any of those particular users, and this is a case that we've been talking about, which is going to be very, very rare. And in fact, on PHP.com, I can only think of one or two instances of it ever happening. But they, after a while, they gave up. But it's still going to be a very, very rare situation.
Something you didn't talk very much about in this section, Patrick, was something a lot of things out. PHP BB3 has the ability to set temporary bans, that, you know, like a ban that lasts for a few days, something like that. And you didn't really talk much about that in the book. What's your opinion of those?
Well, I did talk about temporary bans. I'm not sure if you saw that section or not.
It seems to be more in favor of permanent bans.
I am. I think temporary bans, you know, while they have some purpose, are kind of turn banning into a little bit of a game. Like you can be banned for a certain period of time, and I guess the conventional thinking is that you give them an opportunity to cool off. And you know, in my experience, I don't find that is necessarily the end effect. You know, people are mad, and then people are mad. I mean, it might work for some, but when you turn banning into some sort of thing that can happen over and over again, it tends to lack seriousness. Where I prefer to have bans that are after we're giving the user plenty of opportunity to participate within our community and be a contributive member. You know, we don't ban people right away. We give people a lot of warnings and a lot of opportunities. We're very clear with it. We communicate very well. We tell them what happened. We tell them, you know, why a post is removed. Every single time a post is removed, we tell them that. So, you know, if someone earns a ban, it's really, I always say, I don't ban anyone. They make me ban them. You know, it's not something that I go out and go to ban people. It's someone who has repeatedly done the same things or has said something just, you know, who has got to a point where they are just hurting the community as a whole. And that's when that becomes necessary.
Right. And the other thing, too, for us, we have issued some temporary bans, or what I like to call suspensions and not bans. And the reason for that has been if two members really get into a very heated argument, but they're active members and, you know, maybe they haven't had a criminal record before, this is not a situation where you want to just ban them, but it is a situation where you need to make the arguing stop. And, you know, usually, if you just have a board, then simply locking the topic usually takes care of that. But in our situation, we have a chat box, an Ajax chat box, and so you can't lock the topic. So we had to issue, temporary bans on the two users who were arguing to let them cool off. And then once that was done, then they came back and they continued being regular active members without a problem.
Yeah.
So that's a situation where temporary bans are useful, but certainly if you just have a regular board, the best way to stop an argument like that where you might issue a temporary ban is to lock the topic. Now sometimes you're like, well, I don't want to lock that topic, and that might be a case where those temporary bans would become useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually those would be like the ban that we did, it was an hour ban. You know, it's not like a month or a week or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, but it was just an hour ban. Just enough time to let them cool off and think about, you know, something that I said to them. You know, I'll send them an email and say, hey, you know, you need to chill out. And that's usually enough. Usually I haven't had to issue a ban, but if it was really urgent, I've issued a ban, sent them an email saying, hey, and they have enough respect for the community that they'll go, okay, sorry about that, you know, whatever. So.
And there's chances are that you'll have something come up that doesn't quite fit things that, you know, Patrick's talked about in the book, but you you know, you still have the freedom, you know, to do what you think is appropriate. It's just there are a number of various things that can happen that you have no idea how to tackle. Hopefully that will not happen to you, but it has happened to other people, and so you should be prepared and know how to deal with it. And I think the moral of that chapter really is keep your head, act in a professional manner at all times, and your community will be the better for it.
And Patrick, you have thoughts on that?
Awkward silence. Right.
Have a what?
But almost lost you for a minute.
Yeah.
Did you have any final thoughts on that, Patrick?
On what he just on the final line of the chapter, or what in general?
So yeah,
I listened to you guys talk. I didn't hear a question.
Yeah. I'll go on. So actually, you guys were talking about David with your discussion. Actually, is another good segue to chapter 7, which is creating a good environment. And which is another very important aspect of maintaining a good board. And it's in this chapter that – and David and I chatted a bit about this a few weeks ago – that, Patrick, you coined your holy trinity of bad community discussions, politics, religion, and web browsers.
Yeah, I'll add a few more to that list.
You can add it. It can be added in there. It's just kind of a joke and, you know – just three subjects that tend to
it's not a joke.
Naturally opinionated others.
I can't tell you how many browser wars I've been a part of. Not just on forums, but on podcasts.
I honestly did not know that browser wars were an issue until recently started hammering IE8. And all of a sudden, you know, we had
– I will link you to an episode of my old PreviewCast podcast from last June where – myself.
Yes,
and
you told me about that.
Yeah, we had a half hour long browser war. I mean, that's not the first one. We've argued about web browsers for quite a long time, because up until recently, I did not like Safari, and the other person loved Safari. I was a Firefox person, so we always have these big Safari versus Firefox arguments. And of course, Internet Explorer is always a major hot button issue for people. Especially, there's the whole Get Firefox movement, which is a big thing. It really is almost like the computer equivalent of a religion. What web browser do you use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little bit foreign to me because I don't really care what browser you use as long as it's not Internet Explorer. Don't accept
that opinion. That's a play.
Our chat room's
though.
Starting
that's
to argue now.
But I have valid reason for that, and that's that I can't. You know, if it could handle the web like any other browser could, then I really wouldn't care what browser you used. So the truth for that is just that it depends on the standards of it. You know, if I don't care what browser it is, if IE8 comes out and its standards were great, I don't care if you use it.
But there you go. All right, now look how quickly we've gotten into this discussion about what web browser and our chat room apparently has a big Firefox bias, but it's that quickly. We've now sunk ourselves into this web browser discussion.
Get yourself out of it. It's the Holy Trinity.
So I was reading this. It's not a joke. I said, yes, that is so true. That really is the big three that cause problems in communities. And most people don't really think about the web browser thing seriously, but that can cause so many problems.
I actually think that the PC versus Mac is a bigger issue, more like religion and politics, than the browser wars are.
I think the browser wars beat out Mac versus PC, quite frankly. I mean, I think people
– I don't know. I have never seen such fierce arguments as I've seen with the Mac versus –
It's only because you're in the PHPBB teams, David. They skew reality, okay? They skew reality. I know. I was there, and I got out of there after 9 months. They cause more problems than most people.
Yes, I use IE secretly. I also use PCs secretly.
All right, let's get back to the book. So, talk about respect in a good environment in place. So, respect is everything. Another interesting thing, and I found this interesting because it's quite contrary, actually, to what phpbb.com does. You have a whole section called Answering Questions, which is as don't have an attitude of expected knowledge. Don't link users to general unhelpful sites. Don't tell users to search for the answer. If a question has been asked before, answer it again. And it's interesting because on the phpbb.com forums, I see so much of oh, you should have searched for the answer. It's been asked so many times, rather than just answering the question. And that's where I thought of, like, wow, these are some things I think phpbb.com could adopt, because I hate how phpbb.com always says, says you should search for the answer. And it's like, you know, you have a support forum, you should offer support. Not to mention the fact that the search tool on phpbb.com up until recently was kind of quirky anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic because it was like, well, you know, asking me to search for it and the ability to search for it are two different things.
Exactly.
But now that the search actually works, you know, I can see pointing that in many cases, like if the answer is simple, you know, and you could just type it out inside of, you know, 5 minutes, then, you know, answer the question. But if it's a really complex answer, you've either got to link to it or tell them they've really just got to search for it because it's just too long to just answer on the spot. So, you know, there are certainly cases where it's like, you know, a little bit of searching really would have helped you out here. Now, of course, there are extreme cases where, like, on Area 51, as it says, told people to grow brains, but well, that's my favorite. Go grow a brain or something.
Ew. You guys, that's wrong. That's not the way to do it, okay?
Oh, I know. But you see, that's the kind of thing that kind of drove many of us away from phpbb.com for a while. It's like the way that members were treated. But
I was there during the height of that. I was there during the height of that, and I did not like it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think members do either. And, you know, certainly phpbb.com is trying to become a lot more friendly community, and I think that people have been able to tell.
Yeah, I have started to notice that. But when I was on the team, that was a part of the environment that I really thought soured it up somewhat when I was on the teams back in 05, and 06, around there.
I know some team members are probably going to hammer me over this later after they hear the podcast. They're like,
let them do that. Let them hammer you. I didn't do anything. I still got hammered by them.
back then. Hey, I've been able to handle myself pretty well in the PC versus Mac discussions now.
Yeah, you're better than I am. You're older.
Okay.
What was it that they were going to hammer you about?
Yeah, we're about an hour and 30 minutes in.
So. That's fine. I expected this to be a long show.
As long as you expect it to be a long show, then we're fine.
Did you want to say anything else about the respect chapter there, Patrick? Or are you just being entertained by our interesting discussions?
You know, respect, like I talked about in the book, and like you've read it, it's everything. If you want to build a good atmosphere on your forums, you know, respect for me is paramount to everything that happens on the forums. It's important that people respect each other at all times. That respect goes from member to staff member, and up. Every level has to respect every other level. They all need to treat each other with the respect they deserve, you know, at all times. That's what creates a good atmosphere, and that's what's going to bring people in and encourage them to stay.
Yeah. All right. Because I'm looking at the time, I'm going to skip over the last two chapters. I'll just mention them briefly.
Mention them, yeah.
Yeah, chapter 8. Is actually an interesting chapter. It talks about keeping it interesting, like some of the things you could do to, you know, keep your site fresh, you know, with features that you could add on, games or other events that you could use to spice up your community. I actually read this and I came up with thinking of, you know, maybe these are some interesting ideas that we could do on PHPBB Weekly sometime, which seems kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting because PHPBB Weekly is a blog/podcast where it's this for forums. But
we have a forum too. But we have a community.
Really, or not just forums, but really it can really be applied to managing any kind of social interaction online, whether that be blog posts, chat room.
We have a very hefty chat room right now, so we have a very good group of folks. You know, maybe we should put together some kind of like a mod or style contest for PHPBB Weekly or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's not really a contest, but we really should do a style contest.
Yeah.
Because PHPBB Weekly.
Or just do some kind of a fun thing, like a PHPBB Jeopardy or something like that. That'd be cool.
When I say PHPBB, it always sounds like I'm stuttering.
It always does. Yeah.
PHPBB Weekly.
I know what you're talking about, exactly. I've been saying the name of the site all the time in all these interviews, and it's like, I gotta say it slower. Say each word, each letter one at a time. Yeah, right.
It's all James Atkinson's fault for calling it that. James, we're coming after you. We'll talk a bit more about that. And chapter 9 is probably what a lot of people will be interested in. Making money. If you care about making money, it talks about some of the tips you have for making money. And you also in your book, you interview someone, Ted Sedinsky. I don't have the name in front of me, but who
Ted
offers,
Sedinsky, yeah.
Yeah, who offers a lot of tips.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a marketing consultant who's worked with some very large companies, very large communities, to help them to market their communities, to monetize their communities, sell merchandise. He's done a lot of great things. So just in respect of his knowledge, I actually brought him in and asked him a few questions and helped to – and brought that information into the book to kind of supplement my own experiences.
Yeah. So managing online forums, it is the new book. It was released about a month ago. You can get it paperback at your local at Amazon.com or your local Barnes & Noble store for $24. It is published by the American Management Association, or AMACOM Books. And you can also find out more about the book on its website, managingonlineforums.com. And on there, there's also a number of resources available, such as example forums and downloadable versions of the templates that you have in the book, and other online resources that you can use to learn more about managing online forums. In addition, Patrick also has a managingcommunities.com blog, where he blogs about other things on managing communities, as well as forums about managing communities, communityadmins.com as well. And so those are a number of great resources that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and of course, we'll be doing a drawing for a free copy of his book in a little bit. And I just want to really thank Patrick for, first of all, sending us the free books, because it's been a blast for me to be able to read the book, which is great. And also for coming on the show once again to talk about his book. He's done a great job here, and it's really exciting to be able to see this book.
Yeah,
no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. I'm glad to do it.
Very quickly, just because we've been talking a lot recently about the PHP BB2 end of life announcement, I'd be curious to know what you think about the end of life announcement.
You know what's funny, Douglas? You remember that topic that you had on phpb.com?
Yeah, and they closed it, and I was mad at it.
Yeah, you wrote a whole blog post on that and everything, but on Star Trek Guide, you opened the same topic, and what's been the consistent replies there?
I don't remember. It's been a little while since I looked at it.
Everybody was like, "Oh, good, finally." No, there's not been many replies to it, and it's kind of interesting.
Well, you have a PHP BB3 website, but I'd be curious.
Exactly, I was going to say that shows where a demographic is.
I'm curious to know what Patrick thinks about it.
You know, I was a little surprised about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to happen sooner or later, but it just seemed to happen out of the blue, and it was kind of surprising. It was definitely a surprise to me.
Yes.
I think it was a surprise to a lot of people.
It was a surprise.
They think
to
the
me.
World ended already.
No, it's just more like, you know, world ends in 6 months, so go and
7 months. No, wait. I think. Yeah, 7 months. 7.5.
Whatever. So go and have fun while you still can, or something like that. Yeah. I'd be interested to see if anyone's still going to continue doing unofficial PHP BB2 support after the end of life happens.
Mm-hmm. They're certainly open to. PHP.com has said, if you want to do it, you can do it. It's going to be a little bit difficult for an outside community to do that sort of thing unless they already have a community that deals with it, but you know, certainly anybody's open to do that. The only thing is that the security updates stop on February 1st. I see that, you know, already we've seen a huge slowdown, even before this announcement came out, a huge slowdown in the PHP BB2 communities, for modding communities, support communities, styles communities. They've really, really slowed down. And so, you know, they're getting slower really by the month. And so I can see by January 1st it will probably be so slow that people almost won't notice when the forums actually close.
Okay.
I know you don't believe that that's going to happen, but
yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Well, there's going to be somebody out there, but it doesn't matter. There's still people running PHP 1, PHP BB1.
1.4, yeah.
Yeah,
we have seen some of those.
Yeah, I came across one just the other day, actually, and it was running – well, it said it was running 1.4.2.
Wow.
But it was pretty active. It was still active, too. And it's kind of cool to see, because I used to use it, and it's kind of like – well, it's a part of the kind of the history of – of my site.
Yeah, you started.
It has a place in my heart.
You started this before PHP BB2 came out, so yeah.
Right, yeah, I started using PHPBB in a live environment on, I think,
I've never seen PHP 1.1,
I think.
You have not?
I have never seen a PHP 1.
Or PHPBB.
I have never seen a PHPBB 1 board.
Wow.
You know, let me see if I can find that link. I have to look in the chat archives because I posted it.
Actually, they're fairly easy to find.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not too hard.
Yeah. So PHPBB 2 has a place in my heart. I have no idea what PHPBB 1 even is, and I probably won't. It probably won't have a place in my heart. While you guys are looking for that, I'm going to go over to – we're going to do a giveaway drawing. And so as you recall, 2 months ago, we launched a listener survey for PHPBB Weekly where we asked our listeners who were interested to fill out a survey to tell us a bit about what they think about our podcast. And we really appreciate those of you that filled out the survey. We had about 30 responses, and about 22 of you guys said that you wanted to be entered into the giveaway drawing that we were associating with the survey. We decided to do this, first of all, when Patrick was willing to send us a copy of his book to give away. It is a brand new copy that has not been opened yet, and it has been autographed by Patrick, and so that was awesome for him to send that to us. In addition, we're also raffling, we're giving away, David has thrown into the pot the supporter status on Star Trek Guides. That if you're a member of Star Trek Guide, you will be given supporter status, which is normally reserved for those who donate to the website, but includes benefits such as you don't have any ads on Star Trek Guide, you have access to the posts anywhere and PayPal donation mods, along with the Borg invasion style that you saw on April Fool's Day. Third prize will be my old Conquering Olympus birdie. This is not the new Pro Silver birdie, but this is the red birdie with the hood that was released back in early 2006. And it hasn't had very much wear and tear at all. It's just been sitting there spying on me, reporting back to headquarters, you know, doing something since that birdiezilla knows that I'm behaving, I guess. So. And fourth prize, just because I thought I'd throw in a fourth prize, I have some buttons and stickers and other knickknacks that the Tech Podcast Network and the Blueberry Network sent me to give away. And so that would be interesting. What's so funny?
I'm sorry I just read the chat.
Wear and tear. No, there is no wear and tear. It has been sitting there doing nothing. Don't worry. Maybe a little dust, but that's all.
He will vacuum it there.
I know, fourth prize isn't much, but I wanted to throw something in. So what the heck? What the heck? Anyway, so here's the way I'm going to work so I don't get accused of doing this unfairly. I have taken the list of the people that signed up for the giveaway, put it in a list, and given each of them a number from 1 to 22. I have a graphing calculator here which has the ability to do a random number selection. Let me find math. Prob random int 1, 22. Yeah. So I'll just have this randomly select four numbers, and those will be the people that will win. You guys provided your email address, and so I will attempt to get in contact with you to obtain further details. If for some reason the email address is invalid or you do not respond to me, I will then have to pick a fifth or sixth place person who will get your prize. So hopefully you will respond and we will be able to send those out to you. So without further ado, as for how to get in the drawing, it's too late. You've had the last 2 months to do it. We talked about it a lot in the show, so if you're not in the drawing, sorry, folks, too late. David, do you think I should give out go from fourth place up to first place, or from first place down to fourth place?
Fourth place up to first.
So give away the fourth place prize first?
Yes.
Okay, because I know that people might get upset if, like, I pick them first because I lose the opportunity for the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I should do the first place first. I don't know.
No, do the fourth place
first. All right, David's telling me fourth place first. Okay, so the fourth place winner getting the buttons and stickers from Blueberry and the Tech Podcast Network is number 4, Sithnar. That's the name you put.
Okay.
So, Sithnar will be sending you an email Woohoo. That's not my type of prize. All right, here's a good prize. All right. Third prize, which is the Conquering Olympus Birdie. Here we go. It is going to be, calculator says, number 14, Tim Lutsiewicz, or he also puts in parentheses T50.
Looks like he's in the room. T50. He's actually in the room, yes.
Woohoo! You won the birdie! Woohoo! Where is he in the room? Yeah, he's there. Hi, Tim. Yes, you get the birdie. Yay. All right. Next up for the Star Trek Guide supporter status. This is the one that David's going to be in charge of. We have number 19, and it just says Alex. Alex. The email domain name is sigswitch.com. So... okay, we'll see if he's already a member on Star Trek Guide.
Yeah.
But I'll get in touch with him. And finally, drum roll please. This is the drawing for the autographed copy of Managing Online Forums, Everything You Need to Know to Create and Run Successful Community Discussion Boards. All right, it is number 15, Jeremy. Jeremy, and the domain name of the email address is chipitonline.com. Woohoo!
Congratulations.
All right.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
Well, we will find out. He won anyway.
And in fact, we want you to take a picture with you with your prize and send it to us.
Yes. If, by the way, this is – in case I don't get a response from anybody, I will pull two more runner-ups. The runner-up number one is Esmond Poynton.
Okay. Know who that is?
Runner-up number two is Igor.
Igor. Okay. You know, it was funny. Esmond Poynton was a mod team member for a month.
Yeah.
He had some accidents. So, but, yes. So no, both of them.
Let me quickly write those down and so that we can get in touch with you. And you will be getting an email from me pretty much immediately after the show is over. Well, after I've had breakfast. And then we can move on with the show. You guys were looking for something when I was describing the giveaway drawing. What were you guys looking for?
Oh yes, the PHBB1.
Ah, yes.
I posted a link in the chat room.
I'm not sure if we could get that out. There are vulnerabilities.
Okay, don't put the link in the chat room then. Just send it to me. I'd be curious to see.
It's already in the chat room. It's actually been up for a long time, so I don't know. They may have made
some modifications to
it. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't because it's workforce.com, so it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but you never know.
Whoa, that's old.
Actually, that's not really what, you know, that they kind of worked it into their theme. That's not really what a 1.4 board looks like from vanilla.
Yeah, no, still, it's kind of, kind of slim-ish.
With PHBB1, there was a, I'm forgetting the name, OC prices or something, I'm forgetting the name of it, but there was kind of a light style that came in it besides the default one, and that's kind of similar to that in a way, but they just kind of copied it into, you know, their overall design, obviously.
Patrick, what's the URL for that Internet Archive site?
Archive.org?
Archive.org.
Okay, you have to see. Anyway, so we are not going to do a modern style of the week this week because we knew that the episode was going to be kind of long. We thought that the listener survey prize giveaway could suffice. Again, thanks to everybody who did fill out our listener survey. We're going to be taking a look at it now and figuring out what's good about ourselves, what's bad about ourselves, and what we can do to change ourselves.
Okay. It's a vanilla PHBB1. You can't hack it, so I'm safe putting this in there. It's from the archives of PHBB.com. when it was running PHPB version 1.4.1, and that's what it looked like.
That wasn't actually the default install. That was what .com looked like, but the default install, if I recall, was kind of a was a darker had a darker theme to it.
That's what .com looked like.
Now, yeah, though it didn't stray too much from that. I mean, that kind of gives you a gist of what it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of fun. There actually was a PHPB2 template made that was the default that mirrored in, closely, at least, the default PHPB1 look. It was made by Daz, I think. I'm just trying to find it.
That's awful. Okay, Daz is a really good style member, but I can't imagine how awful that would be to have a 1.0 style. Ugh. Maybe he made it for the heck of it, but ugh.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Let's wrap the show up. Anyway, be sure to check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, where you can find all of our past shows, as well as show notes for this show, including links to everything that we have talked about. And, of course, our forum is at StarTrekGuide.com, where you can discuss a lot more about the things. You can complain that you were not the one that won the book or any of the other prizes, I guess. Maybe not. Anyway, other discussion about the show, any other questions you have, head on over to our forum at StarTrekGuide.com. Our next episode, we are going to be recording off of TalkShoe because we're going to be doing it the night before without doing a live version because I'd like to be able to be in an episode of the show for once. And because we had a lot of David having to do solo episodes recently. However, I'm
Douglas
busy next
is
Saturday.
Not here right now, if you can't tell.
What?
I've met both Douglas and me. I'm sorry. I've got to come forward.
Okay. All right. Point is, we're not going to be live next week. But our next live show will be in 2 weeks, May 24th, episode 63. We're having guest Matt Mullenweg of WordPress and Automatic Fame. And they also produce a bulletin board program called BB Press, which is interesting because it's based on a somewhat different idea of what a bulletin board should be based on. So we're going to step away from PHP BB for a week and chat with him a bit about that, as well as his experiences running a popular open source program and take a look at some of how it differs from PHP BB somewhat. So that should be an interesting episode. Mullenweg will be joining us in 2 weeks on the show, and that will be our next live episode. And of course, PHP BB Weekly is a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcasts.com. And Patrick O'Keefe, do you have a personal website or any other kind of other website you would like to promote while you have the opportunity?
Sure. My personal blog is patrickokeefe.com. Not that hard to remember, but
yeah.
The book website, as you said, is managingonlineforums.com. That's also the title of the book. I blog about community management at managingcommunities.com, and I also run a community about the topic at communityadmins.com. And I think that's plenty. I appreciate you having me on.
That's plenty, and of course, phpbhacks.com is where a lot of people know him from as well.
Sure. And actually, in fact, if you didn't have the ability to write those links down, those will be in the show notes, so you can go there and look at them.
Yes. And finally, for the record, the authorized King James Version of the Bible is an English translation of the Christian Bible begun in 1604 and first published in 1611 by the Church of England. The Great Bible was the first authorized version issued by the Church of England in the reign of King Henry VIII. In January 1604, King James I of England convened the Hampton Court Conference, where a new English version was conceived in response to the perceived problems of the earlier translations as detected by the Puritans. And the Puritans were, of course, in fact, within the Church of England. Thank you, Wikipedia, for solving that question that we first asked about an hour and 45 minutes ago.
Cite your sources. Cite your sources. Cite your sources.
And just like that, we've gotten once again into the holy trinity of bad discussions with religion.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for
that. But actually, no.
Negative point of view.
Yeah, no, you know, it can be discussed without having to go into an argument. If it's like a debate, then that's where you got to watch out for it. Those discussions have to be very, very closely moderated.
All right. Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of PHPBB Weekly. We'll see you all later on, or in 2 weeks, whatever. Bye-bye.